I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to try to preach both messages this morning out of the book of Mark chapter 8. Not go into Proverbs like I normally do. I was looking a few days ago at this particular passage of Scripture. It's Mark 8. I'd like to deal in this first message out of verse 22 to 26. It's a record of the Lord's healing of a blind man. It's not recorded anywhere else except in this book. It's unique in the sense that no other healing of the Lord happened exactly like this one happened. But though it was unique in the Lord's performance of it, it was done obviously to teach us something of the good pleasure of our God to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. And then secondly, how the Lord causes His people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says, "And He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him, and besought the Lord to touch him." Now, divine providence drew our Lord to this place. Obviously, one of His sheep was there, and he must find him, because the sheep are not going to find the Master. No man seeks after God on his own. He had to find him. He's going to heal him, call him to himself, and teach this man something, teach us something. Now this man obviously was blind. That's what it says. "He cometh to Bethsaida, they bring a blind man." Now here is a fit representation of all men born in Adam, born into this world, in our natural state. We're all blind by nature, spiritually blind. We're blind to our deadness. The Lord told Adam, He said, "You eat of all the fruit except one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that. In the day you eat, you're going to die." And he did. He died spiritually. So here's all men by nature, dead. As we've said before, what can a dead man do? Nothing. Nothing. He can't do anything. He doesn't seek God. He doesn't see God. He doesn't love God. He doesn't follow God. He doesn't choose God. He doesn't exercise a free will. He's dead. He's dead. Here's a blind man. Helpless before God. Why? He cometh to Bethsaida and they bring a blind man. Why? Because he couldn't see. They brought him to the Lord, and he was blind. He was blind to his state of his need of rescue. He's blind to his state of deliverance from sin and bondage. Blind to the wages of sin, the justice of God. Man by nature is blind, dead. He wasn't seeking God. They brought him. But according to the power and mercy of God, He who worketh all things. Who do you think moved on these friends to have a heart to bring him to the Lord? Who do you think instigated that? Them? The Lord said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So here's the Spirit of God moving upon some friends to bring this blind man unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to have such friends. Somebody that would desire to have somebody come and hear. I want people to come. I want to come. I want my family to come. I want you to come. I want to, why? Because we're just looking for some more members? No. I want them to hear. I want you to hear. I know from the Scriptures, I know from experience, we're dying creatures. We're going to die. We're going to die and we're going to leave this world. And we'll stand before the Lord. I want people to hear. So here they brought him to the Lord. And they did the only thing they could. They brought him to the Lord. And they besought the Lord to touch him. Why? Because they couldn't do anything. What are they going to do for a blind man? And they knew that if the Lord chose to heal him, he could. That's like that leper. Lord, if you will, you can. I know you can. I think of how many times I had some frailty, some, you know, just get sick or something, and how many times that scripture of that leper come to my heart. Lord, if you will, you can. I know you can. I'm just asking. And so that's what they did. So they brought him to the Lord because they cared for him. They besought the Lord to touch him. And when the man was brought to the Lord did an amazing thing. Look at verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Now, what our Lord did, well, number one, it was private. It says he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. He took this man's hand. A hand of a helpless, impotent, blind sinner. But it was the Lord that had him. This man's hand that could do nothing. He couldn't help himself. If he could have exercised his will to give himself sight, you think he'd have done it? Well, yeah. Why didn't he do it? Well, he couldn't do it. He's blind. But the Lord took him by the hand, and that hand from whom the Scripture says no man can pluck out of the Lord's hand. The Lord took him. Led him out of town. This is how he spiritually separates his people. There's a separation. I mean, we're all sitting here together, but I'm telling you, God deals with people individually. It draws them away privately. I like going into your closet to pray. You're there privately. You might be in the presence of somebody at times and just praying to yourself, but they don't know what you're doing. It's that intimate relationship with the Lord. And he separated this man just like he separates his people and has from all eternity. In electing and particular redeeming grace. And what mercy was shown this man. This man, now it's an amazing thing. He cometh to Bethsaida. You know, the Lord had revealed in the book of Matthew. I want you to turn over with me to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Something about this town, Bethsaida. Matthew 11. Verse 21-22. Matthew 11:21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Now this is where they are. They're in Bethsaida. The Lord said, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now here they are. They're in a city that the Lord has already told them, reprimanded them. told them, he said, if the works done in Tyre and Sidon that were done here had been done there, they would have repented. That verse I've told you before, it always amazed me. Because the Lord, not only does He know what will and won't happen, He knows what could have happened if He'd have permitted it. But here's a man, and they're in Bethsaida, a town reprimanded by God. But out of that town, God's going to show mercy. Now this town, Bethsaida, was the hometown of three of the Lord's apostles: Peter, Andrew, and Philip. Every place. You know, Jericho, that was a city that was cursed of God, but there was a Rahab there too. You look at how the mercy of God, in the midst of deserved condemnation, deserved, I mean, we deserve. If the Lord gives us what we deserved it. But in wrath, He remembers mercy. So here's a man. He brings him out of the town, and he's separate from the eyes of men. And the Lord, mercifully, the Scripture says in verse 23, when He had spit on his eyes. Now, to the natural man, that would appear to be foolishness, contempt. That would be something that was vulgar. Something that was considered a reproach to spit on somebody. And I think about Isaiah's prophecy of our Lord before His accusers, talking about a reproach. The Scripture says in Isaiah 50 verse 6, He hid not His face from shame and spitting. As a general rule, when you see somebody spitting on somebody else, it's not out of love, or, you know, it's out of reproach, anger. But not here. Not here. What our Lord did for this man was not reproach, disrespectful, but rather a glorious exhibition of mercy and compassion. He chose to demonstrate what man by nature considers despicable and repulsive and totally foolish in the spiritual healing of dead, spiritually dead, blind, helpless sinners. I want you to take your Bible, just hold your place right there. Turn to Revelation 3:18. Revelation 3:18. I think these next couple of scriptures are going to give us some light on what the Lord set forth. Revelation 3:18. Now here's the Lord speaking to the church at Laodicea. He told John, he said, write these letters. This was part of the letter to the church at Laodicea. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now, what is the gold tried in the fire but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Gold that was tried, proven under the judgment of Almighty God on behalf of His people. He is the gold. Tried in the fire and shown to be pure, holy, just, good. He said, buy of me, I counsel, buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, rich in faith. And white raiment, what is this white raiment but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Charged or imputed to His people. Our righteousness is of what? Filthy rags. Not going to stand before God. Oh, but His righteousness charged to us, robed in His righteousness. He said, you buy me gold tried in the fire, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now this ought to give us some indication. Now wait a minute. This eye salve that is bought of the Lord by faith. We don't have anything, but it gives us faith. Eye salve, what? That we may see. Now that this eye salve. Let's turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John 2:20. This eye salve. How do we see? How do we spiritually see? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, "And ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things." Look at verse 27 of 1 John 2. Verse 27. "But the anointing which you've received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." So now, the Lord said over in Revelation, He said, you've got, abide me, by gold tried in the fire, and the righteousness of His, by faith, and that eye salve. Again, that you might see. And John tells us that, now you got an unction from the Holy One. You got this unction that you have an anointing, verse 27. You've received it, and He abides with you. Alright, but now here's where we're gonna come to the conclusion of this. Look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, verse 26. What is this unction? What is this eye salve? What is it? What is it? The Lord spit on him. And spit on his eyes, put his hands on him. He said, "Abide me, the eye salve, that you might see." Look at verse 26. John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you." He said over in 1 John, he said, you have an unction. You're taught. He abideth with you. He's going to instruct you. What is the spit? What does it represent in the healing of this blind man? The spiritual, the physical, yes, he did heal him. He did heal him. We'll look at it in a minute. But how is every sinner, every vessel of God's mercy, how do they see? How do I understand? The Spirit of God's got to teach us. The Comforter, back in 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." What is it going to take for me to see? It's going to take the Spirit of God. That's what the Lord just said. John 14:26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things. Now back in our passage, back in Mark chapter 8, here's the Lord. He comes to this man and he's going to teach him something. He's going to, you know, what is normally, naturally speaking, a reproach to men by nature. You spit on somebody. The Lord did something mercifully. I was thinking to myself, what believer would say, "I consider it a reproach that the Lord would come and show me how He teaches His people by the anointing of the Holy Spirit"? You think that spit was a reproach to that man when he saw? The world by nature, I understand the world by nature. They hear the gospel of God's free grace, sovereign grace, that God saves sinners on purpose, according to His will and His good pleasure, chosen before the foundation of the world. Man by nature hates that message. But it's the Scripture. This is the revelation of God. That which is a reproach to men is precious to you that believe. He's precious. He comes to this man. And the Lord spit in his eyes, anointed, that the eye salve by which you see the Spirit of God Himself, and the spit from the mouth of the Savior is anointed this man. And God put His hands on him. That's what He said back in Mark chapter 8. And He said He spit on his eyes, put His hands upon him. And He asked him if he saw aught. Our Lord didn't need any information from this man. You think the Lord who made him, who allowed him by grace to be blind? This man was blind for the glory of God, for his good and for the glory of God. He was a blind man. This man, you know, if he's like me, he would say, you know, why was I born blind? Why was I so cursed? And this was for God's glory and His good. And the Lord, He spit in his eyes and put His hands on him, hands of power. And He asked him, what do you see? What do you see? The Lord asked this man, not for the Lord's information, but for the man's benefit and understanding and the glory of Almighty God. What do you see aught? He asked him if he saw aught. And listen to what the man said, verse 24. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. That man expressed two things. Number one, he expressed the power of God to give him sight. He saw. But then he also admitted his infirmity. I see, but I see men, but I don't see them clearly. I see men as trees walking. Let me ask you this. Is this not the way we are? Is this not the way we see the truth of the gospel? But do we not see through a glass darkly? Is not our sight imperfect, even in regeneration, because of the frailty of our flesh? The light of God's grace often comes gradually. We see the Lord by faith and we know Him to be our all and in all, but don't we long to see Him more? Know Him more? Here's the Apostle Paul declaring in the book of Philippians chapter 3, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. We're translated from spiritual darkness into the marvelous light of God's kingdom. But I'm going to tell you something. All of us that are going to be honest, we don't see the fullness of His kingdom. Let me ask you this. If I'd ask you to give me right now, give me an explanation right now. I want a scriptural explanation of sanctification versus justification. Tell me exactly what that means. Well, I don't know if I'd tell you exactly what it means, but I can tell you this. I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I know that. Explain to me the difference in imputation and impartation concerning God's work of grace. Well, I don't know exactly, but I can tell you this. I know that Christ died for sinners, and I'm a sinner. I know that. What do you see, Marvin? Well, I see men as trees walking. That's what I see. I know that salvation's of the Lord. I can't explain everything, but I know this, Philippians 1:6, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know that. Why do we come back and come back? You know, I remember years and years ago growing up in just free will just religion, just false religion. And I actually remember thinking of this. Well, if I've already walked down the aisle and, you know, gave my heart to Jesus like the man told me to do, and you know, I repeated what he said, and then, you know, I did all that. He told me I was saved. Okay, well, why do I need to come back? I mean, once saved, always saved, right? Why do you show up every week here? Why do you keep coming back? You know why? Because we see men as trees walking. I want to learn. I need to hear. I need to eat. I ate supper last night. But you know what? I plan to eat again tonight too. I need to hear. But the scripture says, after he, verse 24, he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. The scripture says, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. He saw every man clearly. You know, we learn concerning men, don't we? Think of the first Adam. What do we see of every man? Well, we see Adam. We know that here was mankind. That was all mankind right there. There he was in the garden. He couldn't maintain his innocence before God. You know what I see? I can't either. I don't have the ability to maintain or sustain my standing before God. If God doesn't keep me, if I'm not kept by the power of God through faith, what would I do? I'd quit. I'd leave. I'd forsake Him. I see the natural man. Here's another man I see something of. I still see men as trees walking. I'm going to admit that. This is an encouraging passage of Scripture to me. There was a guy back there that told the Lord, he admitted to the Lord. He said, I just don't see clearly. I see men, but they look like trees to me. Trees that are walking. Does that make sense? No. But he was honest. I see an old man in me. That's what Paul said. I see in me, that is in my flesh, it dwelleth no good thing. You that know him, you see that? You see that. You see men. You see a little bit more clearly now. The longer we sit, the Spirit of God teaches us by His Spirit, by that eye salve of His Spirit. We learn. We're taught. Here's a man an old man that's in me. And he wars against the new man. Scripture declares that I see a new man by faith. I see him. I've told you before. I believe God. But I believe there's a new man there. I can see by faith. I don't see him in me. Like I said, I dare say you'd ever find a believer that would say, yeah, I see that new man in me. Boy, I see the consistency of walking by faith. You know what I see? I see helpless sinners that need a Savior. That's the evidence of a new man that loves God, longs after Him. I see that by faith, that new man created in righteousness. True holiness. But I tell you who I see. By faith, I see the man, Christ Jesus. I see us in our need. I see that old man in me. But I see something, according to these scriptures, of the God-man mediator, the Savior, the surety of His people. I see Him who the Scripture declares is the righteousness of the saints before God. And by faith alone, we see Him who is the express image of the Father. He who is the way, the truth, the light. And the Scripture says in verse 26, and we'll stop for this morning, He said, and He sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Now, the Lord told this man to do something that apparently would seem strange to us. He told him, he says, this is what I want you to do. You go home. You go to your house. And he said, I don't want you to tell anybody in this town what happened to you. The Lord had revealed that He had chosen to leave some to themselves that had shunned Him. Turn with me. This will be the last scripture. Next to the last. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to show you something. Proverbs chapter 1. Remember when I read a while ago that where the Lord had told Bethsaida, He said, woe unto you. Mighty work done here. Look over in Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verses 22 to 33. Proverbs 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. That they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, that they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let me ask you something. Does God have the right to send His Word where He will, or withhold it from where He will? Does He have it right? He doeth as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He told this man, He said, you go to your house, but don't go to the town. Don't go there. Don't go there. Go to your house. Oh, how thankful that God wouldn't leave me to myself to do what was just set forth in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, here's the last verse. How thankful I am for this conversation. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. Oh, I think about how merciful. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about me personally. How thankful that God wouldn't leave me to myself. Here's that account of that old thief on the cross. Came down to the last, how long? I don't know. He didn't have long left, I can tell you that. He was already hanging on the cross. And the Scripture says in Luke 23:39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked Him, saying, dost not Thou fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm so thankful that God is pleased to show mercy to undeserving sinners. You think that thief was guilty? He said he was. He said, we're getting exactly what we deserve. We deserve this. There's not a believer here today that wouldn't say, if God left me to myself and allowed me to do exactly what I want by nature, born in Adam, if He left me to myself, I deserve the judgment of God. I deserve that. But if God's pleased to show mercy to me and come and by His sweet, blessed Spirit, the eye salve of His mercy, by His Holy Spirit, teach me something of myself. Teach me. Teach me that I'm born blind. And then show me. He opens my eyes, but He's pleased to show me what He will, when He will. We don't know everything. We do grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's why we come. We want to hear. We want to hear of Him. That I might know Him, be found in Him. His glory and our good. Amen.